Hi, Jackson Moore. So we're in the second hour of our live broadcast from the 2012 Sydney Writers Festival. Wherever you meet, you can be part of one of the world's biggest writers' events, this one. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Keep those tweets coming in. Keep them clean, though. They're rolling behind me on a giant screen at the stage right here at Sydney Dance Cafe, which is right at the heart of the festival. Now, coming up in this hour, we've got Russian journalist Masha Gessen. She's incredible. Don't miss this. She'll be talking about her new book on Putin. And Libyan writer Hisham Matar is his opening address. But joining me now is Anthony Lowenstein. He's a freelance journalist and an author, perhaps best known for his controversial book, My Israel Question. A lot of controversy about that one.
And still, thank you. Thanks for having me.
He's also an enthusiastic blogger, and he's written about it in his 2008 book, The Blogging Revolution. It's all about people who live and blog under repressive regimes. And he was quite prescient because it was written before the Arab Spring. Of 2011 and 2012, where we saw this widespread practice of blogging and news and social media to mobilise and bring about political change. So it's no surprise then that Anthony Lowenstein is launching a lecture series here at the Sydney Writers Festival titled Free Voices, Freedom of Expression at a Time of Complacency. It's put on by PEN Sydney, the local arm of PEN International, which promotes writing, literature and free speech all around the world. Welcome, Anthony.
Thanks for having me.
Now, your lecture, as I mentioned, does kick off this series about freedom of expression at a time of complacency. What are we complacent about?
I think when it comes to the issue of human rights, it's very easy living in the West to believe that the only human rights issues are in repressive states. Afghanistan, Mexico, journalists being killed. And I think it's too easy to presume that there aren't issues also in our own countries.
So in a free world, anything?
Freedom is a beautiful thing if it's protected. And one of the things that lots of people in the West are not aware of is that in the last years, under the Bush administration and now the Obama administration, there's been an implementation of a surveillance state, which essentially means that telecommunication companies are recording every single piece of electronic communication, phone call, email, booking itineraries for holidays, done legally. So I guess what I'm going to talk about in the lecture today at 4 o'clock is the idea that being complacent is too easy to presume it's only happening in those supposedly bad countries like Iran, China, etc.
How does Australia rank in terms of freedom of expression?
Look, obviously Australia is a bit better than North Korea. We can agree on that, generally.
Sure.
But no, there's no doubt that the Labor government, Nicola Roxton as Attorney General, is trying to put in place or suggesting the idea of far more monitoring of phone calls and communication under the guise of protecting us from terrorism. And I think we should always be very critical and sceptical and worried when democratic governments try and do that. It's a similar rhetoric we're hearing in the US as well. We're doing it for your protection. No one's suggesting that there shouldn't be checks and balances to monitor potential militant groups, terrorist groups. But governments always overreach. They always want to overreach. And I think civil libertarians and others should be cautious of anyone who claims to talk about protecting the vulnerable and protecting us. So the Labor government has a lot to answer for, and as quickly have also been incredibly anti-democratic in how they've dealt with WikiLeaks and Julian Assange as well.
Is it easy to take the freedoms that we do have for granted, do you think? I mean, how do we remain vigilant? I guess we go and listen to a lecture like yours and give
Hopefully. I suppose so. I guess one of the things we can also do is to not presume it's only happening overseas, that it's happening in countries that are like us, happening in America and elsewhere. And as I said, when you learn, and often the corporate press doesn't talk about this, but it should, is that the US, particularly in the last 10 years, increasingly monitors citizens who have no connection to terrorism whatsoever. The idea somehow that the state should be trusted and believed because they say that they're protecting us should be very critically appraised. So one of the things I think it's in Australia we should be vigilant all the time and also not presume it's just happening in bad states.
You know, on a sunny day like this, it's hard to, I guess, imagine writers in prison.
It is.
Tell me about a writer you're campaigning for at the moment.
I've just been spending time in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and Pakistan last year had the greatest numbers of journalists killed in the world, local journalists, killed by the state, by the US-backed intelligence services, the ISI. So one of the things that I was writing about and talking about today and elsewhere is the idea somehow that often the West actually is assisting the role of repressive states being repressive. It's not just a question of random states doing this on their own. So I guess I'm talking about a number of journalists that I met in Afghanistan and Pakistan, many of whom are self-censor, who are clearly very critical about the way in which their own state operates. So I talk about some of those people, local freelance journalists in Pakistan and Afghanistan, who, in my view, should be heard in their own voices, but too often, I think, in the West, it's much easier to just hear Western journalists speaking in their own language rather than theirs.
All right, Anthony, now you've got to go off and give this lecture. It's happening in about an hour, I guess.
I do.
Yeah, so I'll let you go.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on. You're listening to RN's broadcast of the Sydney Writers Festival.
There is this thing, which is part of our economy, our new language. We have to think a little bit about how we